And here our scripture text ends. Let's consider how we'll apply these words of God to our lives this morning. Cultivating and letting go. In the wilderness, we have an opportunity to let go. To let go of the many things that you and I hold on to, that we grasp a hold of. We often don't let go of things out of one particular reaction in life: fear. We hold on to things because we are afraid. We clasp things because of our anxiety. We literally hold on for dear life, believing that these things that we hold are the things that keep our life together. And the wilderness teaches us that ultimately, not only do we have to let go, we never had control, power, grasping in the first place. Every single thing that you and I hold on to like this ultimately is like sand or water in our fingers. It will come pouring out. In fact, the harder we grasp, the more it comes pouring out. The only way to hold water in your hand is loosely. The only way to hold sand is delicately. When you squeeze, right, it lands on the ground almost immediately. What is it that you are holding on to for dear life? What are the things that you go, if I just can keep this, then I'll be okay? What is it that you identify with, that you go, these are the things that define me and my life? Because I promise you, most of those things that our society defines as these identifiers are the things that are holding you and I back. At the core of this text is this idea of the Son of God, right? The devil comes to Jesus out in the wilderness. He has just been declared in his baptism in the Jordan to be the Son of God. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That's the message that comes out of the sky. That is the message out of the heavens. And immediately, Jesus is sent out into the wilderness. And this very concept, this very identity marker, is the thing that is tested. What is it that we attach, and that Jesus' culture attaches to this phrase, Son of God? And what gets stripped away in the process of the 40 days and the 40 nights in the wilderness are a lot of the things that you and I attach to Son of God. I think they are the very things that are messing up our culture right now. Because we attach to God power, right? We go, God's all powerful, right? Yeah. But never uses that power in the way that you or I would. And this is the confrontation that happens. Because you and I go, well, if I have power, I'm like a genie. I'm magical. I can turn stone into bread, or more importantly, water into wine, right? Yeah. Or heal someone's knee, or bring someone back from the dead, right? You and I look at God's power and go, I want to use that power to free up all of the ills of life. And we rub the lamp, and we make the magical wish, and we hope that this particular wish isn't the last wish we get, right? And then when it doesn't work, we go, okay, a little more ritual, a little more stuff, right? Let's do this a little bit more. Okay, I'm going to pray like 5 times now for it, right? Maybe if I do a little yoga beforehand, right? Get a little bit more mindful about it. Maybe I need to cleanse myself from some sin in my life, right? Where's a goat? I'll sacrifice that for a moment, right? This is what human beings do. We really want to turn stone into bread. And if we were God, and if I'm the Son of God, well then, this is how I would use my power. I would take all the pain away, particularly from myself first, right? And then I start turning to other people and try to take their pain and suffering away. In fact, I mean, come on, we pray about this every single week, right? Give us this day our daily bread. What if I could just grant that to people, right? I'll start with myself just to make sure it actually works, right? And then we'll start distributing it to other people. The next thing that we would use our power for is to, well, rule the world, right? We would rule the world with benevolence, grace, compassion, right? Anyone want that? What do you want for the world? World peace, right? Yeah. And if I were just God for a day, how might I use that, right? What does it mean to have that name? What does it mean to have that privilege? What does it mean to have that power? Can you all of a sudden just institute peace in some way that doesn't require obliterating through violence people's free will? And this is the thing, friends. This is why Jesus is tempted in this particular way, because every single person who's ever had power is tempted to be able to declare by fiat, it is so. And now everyone has to do exactly the way that I say. And yet, that never works, does it? It may work for an hour, may work for a day, heck, it may even work for a year, but eventually, people are going to push back. Even people who sort of like the relative pause of whatever the problem was for a moment, eventually they're going to go, something's missing here. Something's not working. And they're going to push back. So then the devil comes to Jesus and goes, okay, I got a third one for you. This one doesn't involve any other people, doesn't really involve any selfishness. It's just proving who you are. If you are really the Son of God, let's put you on top of the temple, put you on top of the spire, on top of Jerusalem, and jump. And jump. Because if you really are the Son of God, well, I mean, the angels will protect you, right? And you and I think this way too. If I am but a child of God, then nothing bad should happen to me. Nothing negative should take place, right? If this identity is real, then by logic, I should jump. I can jump. I can do all these things because I am a child of God. And yet, each and every one of us know, as we come to this story, we know the answer right? And yet, in the moments of crisis in our lives, we come back to these things. I come back to these things. If my son or wife were in the hospital at the moment right now, in crisis, in ICU, guess what I do? I want to turn stone into bread. I want all the power in the world to magically make everything the way that I want it, right? I even go, God, if you love me, then do this. Implication of, if you don't do this, then you apparently don't love me. I'm not who you say that I am if you don't just make it magically all go away. The reason why all of these things are important is because this is at the core of humanity right here. It comes down to our fears, our anxieties, the things that we are clasping, grasping, holding for dear life. But what happens when we loosen that grip? And we hold the stone. And we look at it and realize it's never been about making this thing that we see bad magically turn into something that is good. That we have always been dependent on God. That God is here for us, even in regular life, even in the wilderness. That God's not interested in turning stones into bread. That God's not interested in just magically making everyone be at peace. Because if so, what is required to obliterate humanity? See, we have this story in the Bible called the flood, right? We've been there, we've done that, right? And we have multiple stories in the Bible where God sort of just goes, boom, here it is. It usually lasts for like 3 verses in the Bible. Right? And then things return back to the way they were, oftentimes worse than what they were. So when we get to Jesus going out into the wilderness, when we get to Jesus being baptized and the heavens parting and going, you're my beloved son, what we have happening in the full story is God saying, let's do it a different way this time, friends. Maybe this time we as human beings will learn the lesson that if we want to gain life, we must lose it. What will you lose for your own soul? Would you give it away on behalf of all of humanity? And it's only in the desert, only in the wilderness, only in Lent, that we can then get to Easter properly. Because without it, each time along the way, over the next many weeks, over these next 40 days and 40 nights, every time Jesus is confronted by a different power group in the Gospels, and we'll see this, we would choose a different way every single time. When those people come out into the night and Peter draws a sword, if it wasn't for the wilderness, maybe there would have been a rebellion there. Maybe Peter would have really rallied all the disciples and perhaps even Jesus himself and going, we are going to oppose this. We're going to oppose Pontius Pilate and Herod and Caesar. And the entire plot would have been lost. Instead, Jesus goes to the cross. Instead, Jesus goes into death and hell, having not done what every other human being had done. And because of it, Easter happens. Because of it, resurrection happens. Because of it, death itself is defeated. And perhaps when we loosen up our grip, maybe you and I discover our resurrection as well. Amen.